If you have your Bibles, go with me to Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And once more, let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word as we stand together to read. Like I said, I want to preach, and bring three messages from these two verses, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For to us a child is born. Now remember, we're reading in Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, who, when he was living and when he was prophesying, found very few people early on in his ministry who would obey or listen to the message. Isaiah was one like John the Baptist, one crying in the wilderness, but the problem was very few people were listening. And the point that I want to make is that Isaiah makes a claim right here prophetically about the coming Messiah. And to this very day, the Bible says that Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And to this very day, you have people who read the Old Testament, who have a Old Testament Jewish tradition, and yet they miss the clear prophetic announcement of the birth of Christ. And here we have it in Isaiah. And Isaiah is declaring as the prophet of God that there's coming a day when God will become man. It's called the incarnation. Jesus, the Son of God, will robe himself in human flesh. And here Isaiah is telling us point blank what is going to happen. So for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Next week we're going to spend time on the issue of the Wonderful Counselor and the Mighty God. Everlasting Father. And here we have the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Folks, one day, perpetual, biblical, Christ-like peace will rule our lives forever and ever. And the peace that we seek, the rest that we seek, that we'll never fully find in the flesh, one day will be ours because of this child that was born. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah, long before Jesus robed himself in flesh, speaks of the Son of God coming and who he will be and what he will do. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Somebody answer this for me. What is a definition of grace? What is a traditional definition that we've heard over the years of grace? Grace is God's what? Unmerited favor. We can't earn it. So in that passage in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it talks about peace that those people will have whose favor the Messiah's life will rest upon. Here's the point. Ultimately, we can have peace in Jesus Christ. We'll never 100% be at rest in these fleshly bodies, but spiritually, we can flourish in the peace that comes through Jesus Christ because His favor has been shown upon us. If you've been saved, you have been a recipient of His unmerited favor. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand. And that's Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. So Father, we ask that You would add Your blessing to Your word as we examine this prophecy of the child who was to come, and He would be known as the Prince of Peace. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to give you four points, four things to focus on about this Prince of Peace that Isaiah qualifies. I mean, he lays it out. He says that a son will be given, the government will be upon his shoulders. Next week we'll explain what all of that means, that ultimately he's in charge. Don't you long for a government that's run by Jesus Christ? Don't you? While God has instituted government, and while over throughout history there have been godly leaders and ungodly leaders, there have been just leaders and unjust leaders, wicked leaders and righteous leaders, and many times people live under both in their lifetime in one way or another. We right now are in an unprecedented time because we have a man who's occupying the White House who's not mentally capable. And he said when he became president, he would restore dignity to the White House and to government. Just this past week, a horrible, disgusting video was released of two men in the Senate Judiciary Confirmation Room, where Supreme Court justices or nominees go to be confirmed. There was a vile, ungodly act that was committed there and videoed. A day or two before, the White House released a video of what they call a White House Christmas inside the White House of transgender people dancing and singing and making all kinds of gestures with their bodies. I don't know about you, but I don't want that kind of dignity or lack thereof in our leadership. So I long for a government that would be ruled by Jesus Christ. We will never have that government on earth. That's why it's a futile attempt of man to ultimately try to find their salvation in man-made governments. Now, I think we should do everything that we can to elect righteousness and people at least who stand for righteousness and make righteous policies, because the Bible says that when the wicked are in charge, people suffer. So we're going to look at that next week in great detail. And then it says he will be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father. But he is the Prince of Peace. Here are four things about the concept of him being the Prince of Peace that I want us to see today. Number one, his peace can only come to those who have been truly saved. Now, that's something most of us in here know. But don't let this pass by you real quick. Don't let this go right past your head thinking, oh, we already know that. His peace can only come to those who have been truly saved. When someone dies, maybe a famous person here in America, or somebody that we know, what is usually the thing that is said about that person, even by general acquaintances? That, oh, so-and-so passed away, may his or may her soul, and what do you see? R.I.P., right? Rest in peace. And I'm here today to tell you that many times when that is put after someone has passed away, we are assuming that that person went to heaven. But I'm here today to tell you that if that person hasn't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, there is no way under heaven that they can ever rest in peace. It's as though everyone who dies today goes to heaven. And that is the farthest thing from the truth, because the Bible says, narrow is the way which leads to life, and few will find it. But broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in there by that way. But you would think, based on everybody that we hear of that passes away, and we see rest in peace. And my first thought is, are they truly resting in peace? Are they in the very presence of God, and are they at peace? Or like the rich man who died in the Bible, and he opened up his eyes and he was in torment. And so you don't get the peace of the Prince of Peace by osmosis. It doesn't happen because your mom or dad was a leader in some kind of church. It doesn't happen because you grew up in a culturally Christian, traditional family where, you know, family went to church, but you never do, but because grandma and grandpa were Christians and they were leaders in the church, and maybe mom and dad didn't take us to church, but you know, we're Christian in name. You don't get to have the peace of Jesus Christ just because of that. You only get it when you receive Christ as your Savior. That's the only time. Look at what Acts 10:36 says. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Notice, the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Not through religion, not through a church membership, not through good works, and not through good deeds. You only get peace of heart, peace of mind, when you come through Jesus. Look at what Romans 5:1 says. The Bible says, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, remember a couple of weeks ago, we laid out sanctification and justification, and we did, you know, a message, a deep theological dive on those issues. And it says, so therefore, since we have been justified, we've been declared righteous, it says, justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So y'all, listen, I know I'm preaching, you know, people say you're preaching to the choir. I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to the church. I'm preaching to mostly saved people who love Jesus. But it's something we need to keep in mind, that our family and our friends, unless they give their hearts to Jesus Christ, they will never find what it means to have true peace. And that's why so many people in the world today, so many of our loved ones, so many of our friends, go through relationship after relationship after relationship, searching for somebody to give them the peace that they need. And they're searching for it in all the wrong places. Like Mickey Gilley's song used to say years ago, I'm dating myself, right? From Urban Cowboy. Looking for love in all the wrong places, right? In too many faces. I don't know what DJ said, but I know he said something very truthful and probably very insulting to me, so. Yeah. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Now, I'm no fan of Mickey Gilley and the ballroom scene and all of that, but I will say this. Just so you know, Mickey Gilley and Jerry Lee Lewis are first cousins. You know that? And do you know that Jimmy Swaggart, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Mickey Gilley were all first cousins too? Just so you know. Some of you are like, who are these people? My generation and older know who I'm talking about. Great balls of fire. Okay, anyway. His peace can only come to those who have truly been saved. That's it. And all these people looking for meaning through a relationship. Can I just say this to you? No human being can satisfy the deepest need that you have as another human being to have heavenly peace. Nobody can do that for you. No amount of money can give you that peace. No amount of personal success can bring that peace to you. It only comes through Jesus Christ. That's why he's the Prince of Peace. And I'll just say this. If you've never come to Jesus and never come through him, you have no idea what that kind of peace is. You really don't. I'm one of those that in a storm, like a real storm outside, weather storm, it don't bother me too much. I grew up as a son of a shrimper, and we experienced water spout after water spout, pop-up thunderstorms, we'd call them in French, grands. We would have to beach on marsh islands and take cover under the front deck of the boat and evaluate what was left when it was over. I mean, there were storms that we went through. I'm not saying that storms shouldn't be respected. Oh, they should. All that rain and wind blowing last 24 hours, you know, this morning, Penny, I heard a little noise. And Penny goes, that's a tree that fell. Because she's scared of everything that moves in a storm. Is she in here? She's in children's church. She won't know it. And if you tell her I said it, I'm going to lie. We will scrub it from the video. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, she gets scared of those things. And I said, baby, that was, who knows what that was. And she goes, oh, your hearing's bad. And your scaredy cat part of storm within you is bad. It's rain. It's a little storm. I have peace through most of it. But I will say this. There's something that Jesus wants to give us, and that is ours. There are storms of life that are far worse than any physical storm that we can go through. Storms not of our own making. Storms that we ourselves had nothing to do with, but we find ourselves right in the middle of them. They can be horrific. They can be difficult, and they can be challenging. They can cause you to lose sleep and perhaps become so stressed out that, you know, you even doubt God. Storms that you think you won't survive. Storms that emotionally and spiritually you're going through that you're like, I will not survive it. There's no way. I've been through some things before where I've told Penny, I said, you know, babe, if you wake up tomorrow and I'm lying dead by your side, it's just because my heart couldn't take it anymore. Well, that's a blessed thing to say to your spouse before you go to bed, but, and that's because of difficulty in life. But in the middle of the storm, in the middle of a storm, you get the peace that only God can give you through Jesus Christ. So that brings me to number two. His peace guards our hearts when we surrender our daily struggles to Him. When we surrender our daily struggles to Him. I can choose to allow my fears and the circumstances of life to rule my heart and my spirit. Which, listen to me, I'm not negating how difficult some things are. They are heart-wrenching. It is almost impossible to get your mind off of it, to get your emotions pulled away from that thing that is so consuming you. But I know this. I know according to God's promises through Christ, we have God's peace. Look at what Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says. It says here, do not be anxious about anything. Sometimes the Bible just comes right out and indicts us. I mean, just absolutely cuts. Do not be, you'd think that maybe God could cut us a break here and say, do not be anxious about most things or some things. But it says, do not be anxious about anything. That's impossible. But yet, it's a command. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And look at what happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, I can't make you understand this any better, because I don't think I can fully understand it. It says that the peace that God is talking about that guards our hearts, our daily lives, through our struggles when we surrender them to God, is something that is impossible to comprehend. That's why it's supernatural. And the peace of God, which transcends, it goes far beyond our human intellect and our ability to understand it, will guard our hearts through Jesus Christ. So in those moments when you are under fire, under the gun, and things are difficult, and you don't know which way to turn, and you're unsettled within your heart, just know that if you bring it to God, and you let Him have it with a spirit of thanksgiving, bring your petitions and your requests and say, God, here's the situation I'm in. I have no answers. I need a good night's rest tonight, Lord, because my mind is wandering and my mind is consuming me and the negative thoughts are there. Would you guard my heart through the peace of Jesus Christ? And it's as though the angel of the Lord, Jesus Himself, with the sword of the Spirit, is standing at the door of your heart, and He doesn't let trouble come in and overtake you. And so in the middle of the storm, you can find peace because you know that the God of all creation is guarding your heart. And He will get you through it. But you got to surrender your daily struggle to Him. Number three, notice this, that His peace is a fruit. It's a fruit of the Spirit produced in our lives as we are filled with the Spirit daily. So as we are filled with the Spirit daily, and as we surrender our struggles daily to Him, we begin to see this amazing fruit that can only come through Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So listen. The peace of God, just like the other fruits of the Spirit, are byproducts of what God has done in our hearts through Jesus Christ. So listen. Finding and having the peace of God in your daily life is not an internal struggle that you have to somehow make happen and win. Just like an orange tree, I don't see an orange tree screaming and saying, I'm trying not to be a fig tree, and I'm trying to produce these oranges. You know what? You plant it. You give it a little bit of food, a little bit of care. It gets water. It gets sunshine. And before long, after a certain amount of time, it starts producing fruit because it's natural. It just comes. And there's the fruit. And so the point I'm making is that you don't have to conjure up this peace that we're talking about. Isaiah prophesied about the Prince of Peace who was to come. And then he came. And all those who have received his grace are recipients of that peace. And you have the deep-seated blessing of the peace of Jesus Christ within you. And it is a fruit of the Spirit that naturally will come to you. It will. When the storms come and they blow against us, that's why you don't need to go to the bottle at night. You don't need to go to drugs to give you some high temporarily to make you feel euphoric and to make you feel like your problems are gone, because when the euphoria wears off, the problems are still there. What you have is you have something far greater than anything like that. You have Jesus Christ. You know, someone once said, hey, to someone said, did you go to AA? And I'm not against AA. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Alcoholics Anonymous. And there are people in our church who have received many blessings from that. But, and we have Christians who serve in that and who help other people. But let me just say this to you. You don't have to go to AA. You need to go to JC, Jesus Christ. And he will fill you and change you. And give you peace. Peace. Let me give you an illustration here. This is kind of how messed up I am sometimes. So Friday morning, I was drinking my coffee. And I got my chair by the back window looking into the backyard. I always raise the blinds. And I sit there and I watch the squirrels and the birds. Sometimes I'll have the TV on. Usually watching hunting, fishing, or carpentry videos of some kind. But I turned the TV on Friday morning, and when it came on, it was on the SEC Network or something like one of the sports networks. It might have been the NFL Network. And it was The Life of Bart Starr. Anybody remember who Bart Starr was? Yeah, our green cheeseheads over there just spoke up. So, he was the famous quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. So, told his life story. Let me tell you something. I think you could get it on YouTube. Go look for it. The story, be ready. Especially those of you my age and older, be ready. The music that was played throughout the video, the scenes they were showing from the 1950s, I wasn't born then, but the 60s and the early 70s. Okay, listen. And the story of Bart's life and all that had happened with Bart. Bart had a younger brother that stepped on a piece of metal playing outside one day. He ended up with tetanus and died 2 days later. Lost his little brother. Bart played for Alabama before Bear Bryant became the coach. Matter of fact, Bart Starr played with Coach Pritchett's dad. Coach Pritchett's dad was a teammate of Bart Starr at Alabama. And they were awful. Bart's last year, I don't know if that was your dad's senior year too, but I don't think they won a game. Bart ended up losing his starting position. Long story short, he got drafted in the 17th round by the Green Bay Packers, and he was a nobody. And then a year or two later, the Green Bay Packers hired Vince Lombardi to coach, and you know the rest of the story. But listen, I'm telling you all that to say this. They chronicled this great Christian man's life. And so many pictures of him as a young man with his wife and young family living the life. And I'm watching the videos and I'm saying all those people that we're seeing are all dead. They're not on earth anymore. And then it took me back to my childhood. This is why I'm crazy. I can make myself cry for no reason. And I start thinking about the men and women of that generation that I knew. And I mean, I see a car, Bart Starr, standing by, and I'm like, I know that car. That 24-foot car with the trunk that you could put 20 people in. And I can see pictures of myself sitting on that car with my grandparents and with my uncles and with my parents. And they used to call me Corey John Texas because I used to have a cowboy hat, a big belt with a big buckle, and cowboy boots. And I used to wear it everywhere. I bet y'all didn't know that. And I began to weep and cry and get emotional as I was watching this, because all of a sudden it hit me. Man, life is going by so fast, and all these people are gone, and all the people in my life are gone, and all I've got left is my mom and dad, and I'm grateful for that. I mean, I got my brother and my sisters, but I'm saying above me. And they're aging, and life is going by so fast, and my kids are growing, and, you know, I mean, I'm looking at videos about Social Security. And should I take it early or not? And all of this stuff, and I'm looking at all of this, and I'm looking at, and then I go to a wedding yesterday, and I see our former youth pastor, Brother Gary, who was giving his daughter in marriage, and there Gary's standing up, and Gary's got salt and pepper gray hair. He didn't have that when he was here. And I remember when that little girl, Emily, she was not even conceived yet because her mama had endometriosis and she couldn't get pregnant. And we prayed as a church, and then God gave them this baby, this little girl named Emily. And now they're standing in a church giving her away. And I'm thinking, man, God, you're good, but slow down, would you? And you say, what does that have to do with peace? Because Friday afternoon, as I began to weep and cry, I began to get emotional. It was actually kind of cleansing, to be honest with you. It reminded me that in this life you'll have trouble. And Bart Starr died in 2019, an old man, Captain America, if you will. And one day, if I live long enough, I'll die an old man. If not, I'll die almost an old man. And what I'm getting at is that if you don't have peace in Jesus Christ, I don't know what gets you through. And I don't know what gives you any hope for days to come. The old saying, Coach, that I've had, the old saying that I've had, you know, when I travel to Louisiana, the halfway point is Crestview, Florida. And Mama used to call us or text us, hey, where y'all at? And I'll say, Mama, we just passed through Crestview. We're over halfway home. Well, in my life, age-wise, I'm past Crestview. But let me just say this to you. While people grow old and bitter and angry, a Christian should be growing sweeter and more peaceful and more secure and more assured, because he or she has Jesus, the Prince of Peace, living within them. That brings me to the last thing. His peace is our gift as we live and die. His peace is our gift, notice, as we live and die. I got my illustrations way ahead of the points today. That illustration I just shared with you should have been under this point. But who cares? It all goes together. His peace is our gift as we live and die. I'm not going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32, but it's about Simeon, who was promised that he wouldn't see death until he saw the Messiah, and he saw the Messiah, and he said, now I can die in peace. And then John 14, 27, look at this, look at what John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And earlier in the chapter he says, for I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you will be also. So, I'm past Crestview. I got less living to do than I've already done. Okay. You say, well, that should make you depressed. No, not when you have the peace of Jesus Christ. Because I'm getting closer and closer to being absent from the body and to being present with the Lord. To live as Christ, but to die is gain. I'm getting closer to the place that Revelation 21 tells us about. There will be no more death, no more suffering, no more pain, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. And those tears, I believe, are going to be happy tears when we get to heaven and see, man, you know, if Coach somehow goes before me and I get to heaven and I see Coach, man, we're going to chest bump, and this time he won't hurt me. And we say, we made it, man, and we're going to weep together because of Jesus, we made it. And God's going to wipe away those tears. You say, well, I don't know if that's really going to happen, and you can't prove me wrong. I may not be able to prove me right, but it does say he's going to wipe away our tears. So his peace is our gift as we live and as we die. You may not have seen very many people die, like be in their presence when they took their last breath, but I have, obviously as a pastor. And I will say this to you. There is a stark difference. It's palpable. It's evident. It's spiritually heavy. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian when they leave this earth. Now, yes, I've been around some non-Christians who, you know, they were so sedated that, I mean, you couldn't tell the difference. But prior to sedation, that lack of peace is tragic. And I've been around people who belong to Jesus. And those who've had a chance to talk about it in their right mind at some point before the angels came to escort them to the very throne of God, they have said something like, I'm ready. I'm ready to be with Jesus. Now, you just think about that. Some mama who has raised her children and she's got a bunch of grandchildren and she's got every reason to want to live. But she has come to that place of peace and Jesus has filled her with that to know that my time on earth, my days have come to an end. And I'm so filled with peace to cross the river. That's the peace I'm talking about that only God can give you through Jesus Christ. It's the peace that a parent, a young parent can have in the days of uncertainty that we live in. Here's the thing we've got to keep in mind about that, and I'll close with this. Those of us who have raised our kids and we're past Crestview, let's not make it miserable for these younger people who are just starting a family and to say things like, And it might be true, but to say things like, well, when I was growing up, you know, things were so much different. Well, listen, here's the thing. They don't have that perspective because the only perspective they have is what they have. I'm not saying they can't learn from history, but what I'm getting at is that they're called to be fruitful and multiply just like we were called to be fruitful and multiply in our generation, in our day. And God will give them what they need. And here's the thing. God will give them peace in the midst of the storm to raise their families. I hear people say, well, I wouldn't bring a child into this world. Well, listen, you shouldn't have brought a child into this world 20 years ago. Shouldn't have brought them into this world 50 years ago. Shouldn't have brought them into this world 100 years ago. We don't have that option. The Bible says be fruitful and multiply. And to do it the right way, in God's way. But all I'm saying is that it doesn't matter what part of life you find yourself in. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And those promises are for us. You can choose to allow the uncertainty of the world and the times in which we live to rule your emotions and to rule your heart. Or you can allow the very God, the God of our hearts, the God Himself, and allow the very peace of Jesus to rule your hearts. I've always had trouble over the years of wondering at times what people think. You would think that as a pastor, he's strong in the Word, and so therefore all he cares about is what God knows and what God thinks. Well, I'm a human being, and sometimes I'm affected by what people say, what people think. But see, it's a trap of Satan to get you to be full of anxiety all the time. Peace of God gets you over what people think. It doesn't matter what people think. What matters is what God knows. That's what matters. That's all that matters. And you and I can have that peace because a child was given to us. And that's why we celebrate. That's one of the many reasons we celebrate Christmas. And ultimately, we will rest in peace. We're still in a battle, but we have, supernaturally, the peace of Jesus Christ. And He guards our hearts because the Prince of Peace lives within us. Let's stand together, everybody. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word, the absolute, rock-solid, foundational truths of God's Word, that we can trust our King, our Messiah, above all else. So thank You, Lord, for the peace that You give us, the peace that You provide to every Christian who receives You. And thus, the peace that You provide when we go through hardships, the peace that You provide when we go through financial trials, the peace that You provide when we go through the trial of losing a loved one, the peace that You provide when we are being attacked or the enemy comes against us, that peace, the peace that You provide when storms are prevailing and it's uncertain what's going to happen next. Thank You for that child born of a virgin, that Jesus humbled Himself to become a man, that He could be tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, and be the perfect sacrifice for us, paying the ransom. And because of that, we can be Your people to live in spiritual peace. God has spoken to your heart. I want you to know that you can find peace in Jesus. I want you to know you don't have to live with all that fear and all that turmoil in you. You can give it to Him. And you can find peace by giving your life to Him first and foremost. As God has dealt with you, we're going to have this time of invitation. And if you want to make a commitment of Christ to your life personally and publicly, this is the time to do it. If you feel God leading you to be a part of our church, I encourage you to do that now. But most importantly, obey Him and trust Him as we sing through our worship team's leadership. You come.